This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel, and we turn now to the second part of our report about alleged child sexual abuse in southwestern Missouri. We should warn you that this story contains disturbing subject matter and explicit language. Most of the accusers and accused are related by blood or marriage. They were members of a small church. All of the accused have pleaded not guilty. Of the several cases, only one trial date has been set for early next year. As Dwahali Sai Kowtow reports, whatever the outcome of the legal process, life has changed dramatically for members of this religious community.
They call this windswept hillside Grand Valley Farm. It's in McDonald County, the extreme southwest corner of Missouri. The land is part of the Ozark Plateau, defined by rolling hills, scenic prairies, rivers, and creeks. Perhaps that's why church leaders chose this location to build their nest more than 30 years ago. John Lambert, a longtime resident who is not accused of any crimes, gives me a tour.
This is a 100-acre family farm. We bought it back in the mid-70s. This little building behind us, we lovingly refer to this too as Grand Valley Christian Academy.
John Lambert has seven brothers and four sisters. Until recently, their community numbered about 100 people. John Lambert says his family is not some kind of religious cult, and he's upset that police and other officials have called his home a compound.
We're normal people. We have our own homes here. We lived our own lives. Yes, we are Christian people. We're Baptists. You know, we're not some kind of cult thing. We never were, never have been involved in any kind of ritual or ceremonial deviant behavior of any kind.
The men in this community built a family church located at the base of this hill and 11 homes scattered off of the steep gravel road. At the entrance is a locked gate. At the top, there's a wooden playground.
We have swings that I walk by every day that children used to swing in. And they sit silent now.
That's Raymond Lambert. He's one of the pastors accused of multiple counts of statutory sodomy and child molestation. Raymond Lambert denies the allegations and refuses to speak about them, but he has a lot to say about why life was so special on Grand Valley Farm.
We loved being around one another. We used to go play softball, and we would have such a wonderful time. We would go on camping trips, and the men would. We'd go on hunting trips. We'd do all kinds of different things together. It's just part of family.
Music was also a big part of their family. In this recording, children and adults are singing a song called Lamb of God. It's from one of their previous Christmas gatherings, which were big affairs. The family even had a country band called Centerfire. They owned businesses such as the Southwest Kennel Supply and Grand Valley Kennel. 33-year-old Amy Burkett grew up in this religious community. She says she felt blessed when she lived on the farm.
They preached all kinds of wonderful, inspiring messages that, I mean, you would be just on top of the world after a sermon, and it'd be just so enlightening and lifting up and very spiritual, and you'd feel so close to God.
John Steib, who is not accused of any crime, also grew up on the farm. He says they were just backwoods country people who worked hard, hunted, fished, and went to church.
We didn't get to go do a lot of things that young people like to do, but we had family around us we were taken care of, didn't have to worry about nothing. If you take away all the sexual, stupid crap, it was a pretty good life growing up.
The so-called sexual stupid crap was normal behavior for some in this religious community. Normal allegedly meant stripping naked in front of Raymond Lambert whenever he felt a woman needed to be put in her place. Normal allegedly meant being kissed with a tongue by a pastor. Normal allegedly meant believing their pastor was Jesus, and life could have continued this way except for an accident that tore this religious community apart. It happened on the internet. One of the accusers stumbled upon a cult awareness website last year. That led to questions about what was normal. She decided that what was going on was not, so she left. And that led Pastor Raymond Lambert to call a series of meetings at the family's fellowship hall. Kevin Amey attended those late-night sessions.
He told me before the meeting that when this is finished, you will either be stronger and you will be here forever, or you will run as fast as you can.
Those meetings left followers shocked. This is what family members Amy Burkett and Kevin Amey recall.
He just told everybody that he had sex with Peggy, and he had sex with Sandy, and he had sex with Laura, and he would have sex with us too if that's what we needed to keep our souls.
He said during the meeting that sex was a man's desire and a woman's need, and that a woman needed to be kept by a man of God. A woman needed to be taken care of sexually.
According to those two and many others, Raymond Lambert talked about a family curse. This curse allegedly involved a grandfather fulfilling the sexual needs of his daughters. Kevin Amey says Raymond Lambert turned to some women in the church and asked them this.
He would ask them, "Did your dad ever take you into the woods and touch you sexually?" And he made them answer, and the answers were yes.
Amey Burkett remembers what Raymond Lambert said at one of the meetings.
He told my brother, who has three young daughters, he said, "David," he said, "you're not man enough to go upstairs and your daughters, are you?" And my brother's like, "Well, no, I wouldn't want to." And he said, "Well, I am."
Amey Burkett alleges that she learned her grandfather Cecil Epling slept with several of his daughters and may have fathered a child with some of them. It was then that she began to question things in her life, sexual things she says she never discussed with other women of this community.
During these meetings, I started putting all this together and thinking, oh my goodness, my life is a lie.
She says for her, there was no choice but to leave everything behind.
I realized I had to save my children and my whole family and myself and everything, and I just felt like a Mennonite girl or something who took off her bonnet. I mean, it was just like the most freeing decision I ever made.
Christina Amey and her family lived on the farm too. She feared for her children's safety, but she was also afraid of what leaving would mean. Pastor Raymond Lambert had described some who left years ago as being one with the devil, so people who did leave were severed for life. Christina Amey didn't know what to do.
When we were deciding whether or not we were leaving, we knew that that would be something that happened to us. We would be severed. And, I mean, that's one thing that held me back, I know, because there are people there that I still love, and to know that you're severed from them is pretty a harsh thing. I mean, you got to choose whether or not you can keep going like this and it'll be okay, or you're going to be severed.
She and her husband, Kevin Amey, decided to move out. He says it's taken a lot to adjust to a new life, yet for them, there is a new and welcome dynamic.
We finally belong to each other. For the first time, we don't have to have some guy standing here telling me how to treat her, telling her how to treat me, and controlling every aspect of our marriage.
Others share this same sense of empowerment and liberation, but some are finding it tough to be without the community and Pastor Raymond Lambert. Again, Amey Burkett.
And that's what hurts. But what he did and what he does, that isn't right. And it doesn't matter how much I love him. I can't let it continue.
Raymond Lambert and his wife Patty say they care deeply for all their family members and those in their congregation, including those alleging child sexual abuse.
Pat and I love them all, and we care for every one of them. We've been together so long that I will never be able to be without them. I'll hold them in my heart all the days, no matter the outcome. I love them so.
The accused church leaders are out on bail. Some of the accusers are in seclusion. Families from both sides say until the trials are over, it's going to be difficult to move on with their lives. Dwahli Saikau Tao, NPR News.
You can hear the first part of this report at our website, npr.org.